This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
When someone is living on the street, they're hard to get hold of. They don't check their email constantly, and they don't have an address. This means they may not find out if there's a bad batch of drugs on the streets, or if the emergency cold weather shelters are open yet. A new web-based text messaging system aims to change that. It's called Street Messaging Service, or SMS for short, and it will instantly connect street-involved people with information about services, health alerts, and training opportunities. The system is the brainchild of Tracy Axelson, Executive Director of Vancouver Community Net. Tracy Axelson has joined me in the studio to discuss SMS. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, good morning.
How did you get the idea for the system?
The idea came to me as I was working I was working sort of with Judy Graves to get the information about emergency shelters out to people. And what I would do is I'd print off the emergency shelter lists, and then I would tape them to the windows at Woodward's, which is technically not allowed. And then I would, you know, the security guard would take them down, and then I'd put them up. And this went on for months until, you know, like it was basically the end of it needing to be up. And I thought, I don't think that this has helped a single person. You know, it's like 12-point font on paper in a window that maybe somebody would see if they happened to notice the logo. And it's a visually cluttered space, especially in the downtown core, I think. And I just was kind of frustrated that, we didn't get the information out. So I immediately thought, well, why aren't we just texting people? And I called Judy, and she was super excited about the idea, and it just took off from there.
I guess the next natural question is, do people on who live on the streets have cell phones or access to electronic media?
You know, when we talk about the downtown east side, we're not necessarily only talking about people who are living on the streets or, you know, otherwise leading complicated lives. We're talking about people that do have home, do have shelters, do make use of the shelters, but may not have easy access to information. Certainly, a lot of homeless people have phones. If you do not have a phone home, you have a phone. Like, it's that simple. There are no payphones. A lot of organizations won't just let you use their phone. So owning a phone is like a lifeline. It is not a luxury. So yes, you know, we're finding that many, many, many people who are street involved or otherwise homeless have phones.
That's interesting. Yeah, there are no payphones anymore.
Right? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are people supposed to reach them? There's an excellent service available for voicemail. How do they get access to the voicemail? Because they have a phone.
You have created a very simple website for people who want to use the system.
Yes.
Can you describe the site for me and what people can do there?
Okay, so the site is basically two parts. The mobile site, the website itself, is almost entirely map. And then there's a place that will show what the most recent messages are below it. So it's really simple. And then, of course, there's a place to sign up. So if you need the information or feel that you would benefit from it, you'd put your cell phone number in, and you would tell us if you're a boy, girl, other. And then you would say the year of your birth, because many of the programs that are available do sort of delineate around, you know, whether you're, you know, if you're a female, you'd only go to the female shelter, or you'd like to know information about that. Well, you know, so it all get registered that way. And of course, if you're a provider, the organization name, a primary contact, and a phone number, and we can get going.
So there's two parts.
Two parts.
To the, I've had a look at the website. Mm-hmm. It looks like very easy to use.
Very simple.
There's two parts. One part for people receiving information, mm-hmm. and one part for people giving the information.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So it's really, we tried very, very hard. Like, there's a lot of bells and whistles that you could put into development, and this is not that. It is a map. The map will automatically populate an organization as they decide to add their place to the map. So you'd have a bubble that would associate with being a shelter, or another sort of bubble that would be a health-related organization or a food-related organization where there's food donations or free food or what have you. And then there's another one that's more skills-based, the training, the jobs. And so you see different colors on the map based on what it is that those organizations do. And it's totally visible on any free space anywhere.
And once someone is registered, is it all totally automated?
Completely automated. We would not have any moderation. We don't moderate any of the messages. It's when they sign up that we would be talking to people about how the system is supposed to be used. Because this is alert, right? This is significant information around survival. It is, you know, stuff that the working poor need to know about healthcare. It's stuff that, you know, potentially there's a missing person, and getting that information out about a missing person faster. You know, a person might say, oh, I saw something, you know, like otherwise they might not kind of put two and two together. So there's lots of things that this is going to be able to accomplish as we go forward.
Some organizations will be sending out messages or information. For example, a shelter will send out information about when the shelter is open. Do those organizations have access to the personal information that people have provided?
Absolutely not. And there's really not any personal information. There's a cell phone number, whether you're a boy or a girl or other, and what year you were born. Other than that, I mean, they could perfectly falsify all of that as well. It's just that they wouldn't get messages that would gear to them. And typically, shelters would not be sending text messages. The system is more set up for alert systems. So the shelter might send a message that said they were closed today because of fire or flood or bed bugs or what have you. Or, you know, we didn't, you know, something like that. So a shelter would only be sending messages like that. Otherwise, the shelters send text messages through the day to our system to update how many beds there are. So when an organization like BC211 or the Vancouver Police, or, you know, an organization that's looking for how many beds there are to dispense the information, they can easily find out how many beds are still available somewhere.
We've mentioned shelters. Mm-hmm. Who else will be using, what other organizations or what other institutions would be sending out information to people?
We understand Potluck Cafe has already registered, so they'll be sending, you know, food-based information, which is great. They'll probably help us update where food delivery would be available. Insight seems really excited. We saw them tweeting about us. So, you know, they could send information very quickly, very easily about stuff that would be pertaining to their area of expertise. And skills, we've had a number of organizations that are, you know, telling us that they have room available still in programs for people to learn something. So, you know, it's just those simple little information that you get that knowledge right into the hands of the people that need it, and we're good to go. Like, we can do more.
You mentioned Insight. What kind of information would Insight send out, and who would benefit from receiving that sort of information?
I think Insight would be best placed to alert people about a bad batch, right? So they know that, you know, a certain area of town is where this one particular thing is. They can say a bad batch is being sold at this location, you know, consider alternate sources. I think that that's what they would definitely be out there saving lives with, is that immediacy of information.
And you alluded to missing person alerts. Mm-hmm. Again, who would be sending that information?
You know, we would probably hope to have some Vancouver police people on it, RCMP, or there's organizations in the downtown core that are definitely interested in keeping track. You know, maybe WISH would be interested. You know, there's lots of potential places that could do that.
And how are you getting the word out about the system to people who might find it helpful?
Well, wonderful organizations like Co-op Radio are helping us get the information out. And we're going to call everybody. We'll call everybody that, you know, that we have on our lists. And there's only, well, I don't know, 2,000 calls to make. But we're just going to get as many people knowing about the system and finding out exactly how simple it is. It's there's so many people. And actually, one of the things that we're learning from the people interested already is how we can actually help to coordinate what's happening within all of these agencies so that they can see, oh, Insight's doing this, so, you know, that's great, we can tell people. Or, you know, the shelter on whatever street has a room available, or, you know, they just know more about coordinate what they're doing within their own shelters or within their own organizations a little bit better as well.
So even organizations can benefit from getting this information.
Absolutely. I've been really surprised that organization heads are saying, oh, I'm going to sign up to get all of the texts myself. And it's like, oh, okay, well, they're available on the internet, but, you know, great that you're willing to do that, because it just means that they will know what their, you know, counterparts are doing in the neighborhood. It's awesome.
You've had the support of the Canadian Internet Registry Association.
Yes.
To set the system up, but I understand you're also hoping to get donations. What are the costs of keeping the system going?
The text messagings themselves, the texts are very, very cheap. I think they cost us less than a penny each. But, you know, if 500 texts go out to, you know, with one particular message, that's, you know, that's going to cost us $5. And, or less than $5, you know, $2.50. But $2.50 over a period of time is going to add up. You know, the reason we did text messaging as opposed to an app with a notification is because we felt that there was text was cheaper for people to own than, you know, to subscribe to than data. So ultimately, we will be paying text message costs and we'll need to be able to support those ongoing.
Okay, and how can people make those donations?
Right on the website. So it's streetmessaging.ca, streetmessagingsystem.ca. I think Canada Helps has a campaign going for us as well. So there's lots of places that you could add a little bit of cash to this program.
Great, and I'll give that address once more at the end of the show. Thanks so much, Tracy, for coming in. It sounds like a wonderful service that you've set up and very useful. And in this day and age, better than the 12-point fonts and notices that you were sticking up.
You know, I was just telling your workmate outside that this is not really difficult technology. It's just never been applied to a vulnerable class before. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Tracy Axelson, Executive Director of Vancouver CommunityNet. The website for this new text-based messaging system is streetmessagingsystem.ca, and you can sign up to both get messages and send them out on that site, streetmessagingsystem.ca.